coming. Thank you, Josh. This morning, we have a guest speaker with us. I would call him a guest, but he's not really a guest anymore, not when you've been here for as long as he has. So he's at home here with us. Brother Jim Herzl is here, and his wife, Ari, and Tara, and Rochelle. And as many of you know, we've prayed for them. Jim came for a surgery. He had his surgery, so he's waiting for some results to see how the surgery is going on his leg. And hopefully all is healing up well, and he'll be able to return back to Port Vila before too long. But right now they're still with us, and they will probably be spending Christmas with us. So, is Christmas? Good. Okay, so we can't have him here this long without hearing a word from Brother Jim. So I've asked Jim to share the word with us this morning. By the way, he still is in recovery. He doesn't have one of his legs. And so excuse him if he has to kind of rest on his stool once in a while. It'd be hard to stand on one leg the entire time if it was you, wouldn't it? So let's welcome Brother Jim, and let's hear what the Lord has to say. Where would you like this? The side? Or?
Get that turned on before I forget completely about it. So, it has been a blessing to be able to be here and to be able to be here again this morning. And I would say that it's starting to feel like a second home to us. Well, that's somewhat obvious for why. And your pastor was a little bit, there was one thing you said that was a little bit wrong on there. I do have my other leg. It's in the room. So, just can't wear it yet. So pray for the recovery on that. Thursday, I go back in. We have the next x-ray. And right now, the tissue, everything has healed up beautifully. And that's been a huge answer to prayer there. No problems, no infections, real blessing in that. The bones are going a little bit slower. So this next x-ray, we'll wait and see exactly how much bone growth is done. We're waiting to it really get to the point where it's healed up enough that it can bear weight, and I can get another leg and get back up on both feet again. So looking forward to that. I'll know a lot more about exactly how long we'll be here on this coming Thursday as well. So pray for a good result, a good x-ray. And more than that, we know that this is in God's timing. And pray that I have the patience to leave it in His timing and not get too over-anxious to try and get back to Vanuatu where God has us. There's a lot happening in Vanuatu. To give you a brief update before we start this morning, the cyclone, you know, came through during March this last year. Most everything in the capital, at least in the church building and the schools, God has provided that we've been able to rebuild. The roof is solid again. We didn't lose the roof in the church. It just nearly took off one corner of it. The bond beam actually came loose from the main building. You may have seen some of the pictures or heard that through prayer letters, but we have that down far more secure than it was to begin with. Which is a real blessing. You learn some things after a cyclone. You see where the weak areas are, and you can shore those up and make sure they're a little bit stronger. Both of our verandas have disappeared. Both of them are back now. New verandas. We never did find the old ones, so I'm not quite sure where they went, but somebody found them and is probably using them on their house. But we have new ones in both the church and the school, both more secure, stronger than they were before. So, Lord willing, those ones will stick around for quite a while. We've seen a lot of growth more than just in the building through this time as well. When you have something like a cyclone come through, pray for Vanuatu still. They're going through a drought now. So if you can imagine all of the damage that the cyclone did, the amount of food, the crops, the gardens that were lost, and then to have a drought almost directly on the tail of it, it's a challenging time. So pray for Vanuatu still, please. Pray for the people. This has, however, softened a lot of hearts. When things like this happen, people ask why. It's one of the first questions that people do. Why? You know, God, why did you allow this to happen? Or why is this happening to me? What do I do? A lot of the questions start coming up. and people are searching for answers to those questions. They're not always turning to the right places, but it gives us an opportunity to be able to answer that. And we can answer that with an answer that actually makes a difference. So many of the things in the world, the different religions, the custom religion in Vanuatu, it can't really answer those questions. We have an opportunity through God's Word to give them an answer. And pray for those open doors. Pray that we'd continue to see hearts soft. Since the beginning of the year, we've not had a single Sunday in the church that hasn't had a first-time visitor. Pray that continues, not just through this year, but through next year as well. It has opened up many doors. We're anxious to get back because we have quite a few islands. One where Pastor Nicholson, you may have heard of, our new pastor out in the island of Malekula. I say new pastor, he's actually been there for quite a few years now. But he has had an opportunity to lead another gentleman to the Lord. And if you heard his testimony, Nicholson was a pastor for years before he ever heard the gospel. In Vanuatu, that's not uncommon. This other gentleman that he had an opportunity to lead to the Lord, and a gentleman a little bit older than he is, was another pastor, and he had seen the difference in Nicholson and started asking questions, saw that Nicholson actually knew God's Word now, and was preaching out of God's Word, and of course had some questions. What's changed? What's different about you? How can I learn this? So Nicholson had an opportunity to hike out there. It's about a half a day hike out to his village, half a day back, and Nicholson's not in the middle of anything. He's out in the middle of nowhere as well. And eventually had an opportunity as that pastor learned more, heard more about the gospel to lead him to the Lord. And that pastor is asking for people to come. Someone to surrender to be trained out either out of Nicholson's church in his village, out of this pastor's village, out of the capital, wherever God would call someone from. So pray for a young man. Pray for a man, maybe not even a young man. Pray for one that God would use to be able to go out into that village. This other pastor is coming towards the end of his life. He knows it, and he wants to see someone there that can teach his people, his village, what he's learned. There's some amazing opportunities. So, again, pray for the healing, not just out of selfish reasons. I would definitely like to get back up on both feet, but we have some villages to hike out to. So pray that this heals up in such a way that I can get out to where I need to be, where God is opening these doors. I know it's all in his timing, so the door is opening, and this supposedly going to be far, far better than what I had before. Maybe it's just exactly how God planned it. So pray for good healing on that. If you take your Bibles, open up to John chapter 3 this morning. John chapter 3, and we'll focus on verse 29 and verse 30. John chapter 3, I'll go ahead and read just a little bit above that. John 30, verse 27, John answered and said, now this is John the Baptist here, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. Then verse 29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Verse 31 says this, says, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, to be able to open your word. Lord, not to have to rely on what I know, on my abilities, but Lord, to be able to see what you have, Lord, what you've given us through your word. Lord, we praise you for Jesus Christ. Lord, for the sacrifice that you made just in being born and living in this world. Lord, suffering, dying, giving your life on the cross of Calvary for us. Lord, the words thank you just don't sum it up. Lord, I pray that this whole month would be purely to your praise, Lord, that we would not lose sight of you. Lord, I pray that during the Christmas season, there's so many other things that happen. Lord, I pray that each and every single one of them would be purely for you, that we would decrease in our eyes, in our thoughts, in our needs, our wants, Lord, and that we would lift you up and allow you to increase in our lives, to become more to us through this time. Lord, that you would be not just the reason for the season, as we say, Lord, you would be the reason for each and every single thing that we do in our lives. Lord, I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oswald Chambers was a favorite of my dad growing up, and it was one of the devotions that he would go through, cover to cover, finish, and he'd try and start something else, and he'd maybe get sometimes 2-3 lessons, sometimes 2-3 months, but he'd always end up going back to my utmost for his highest. And Oswald Chambers, one of the things that he says about this verse, I want to read here quickly to you, says, "The friend of the bridegroom rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice." And he says, "This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. This is spoken with joy and not with sadness. At last they are to see the bridegroom." And John says, this is his joy. It is the absolute effacement of the worker. He is never thought of again. See, John looked at this, and this wasn't a negative to John. This was a joy to him. Now, if you put yourself in John's shoes, this would have been from a earthly, from a human perspective, a difficult time. Here, John had, a growing ministry. John had people that were coming to hear his preaching, his announcement of the coming Messiah. John was seeing lives changed. People preparing for Jesus Christ, and now John is saying, it's time for me to step down. It's time for me to allow Jesus to take his rightful place. I was here to make a way for him. Now that he's here, my place is behind him, under him. And really, in our lives, that's where we need to be. It's easy to forget that and to try and put ourselves in John's place, to try and be that forerunner. But at this point, what we're to be one that shows Jesus Christ. We're to be one that is beneath him, one that is under him, one that is able to be led by him, shepherded by him. To be Christians, that's what the meaning of the word is, right? To be under Christ, to be Christ-like, to be his disciple. Some would translate that to say to be his servant, his slave, to be Christ's, to be Christian. And that's what John was saying here. In Romans 12:1, Paul talks about this. He says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God," this is not a negative thing that John or that Paul is presenting either, "that you present your bodies," he says, "a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, not unto man, not unto each other, but unto God." And then he goes on to say, this isn't a great service. This isn't an amazing thing that only a few select will be able to do. He says what? He says, this is a reasonable service, which is your reasonable service. See, we must sacrifice, as Paul put it. Decrease, as John put it. Give our lives to God so that we have room to increase. See, that's what both of them understood. They're not making this sacrifice and losing out in their lives. They're making this sacrifice and they gain from this sacrifice. They're able to do more, to be more, to see more in their life because they're decreasing and instead Jesus Christ is increasing. And I think we would all be willing to say, and without hesitation, I hope, to say that Jesus Christ, God Himself, is able to do things that I can't even conceive of. So if I'm decreasing and he's increasing in my life, this is a good thing. It is a reasonable service. To sacrifice shouldn't be a negative thing. In our culture, in English even, in most places in the world, Vanuatu is no different. Typically the idea to sacrifice means to lose something, to give up something. It's viewed in a negative term, a term of loss. But the Bible doesn't present it that way. It's a time of gaining. The first point that I want to look at here today, and I will have to, I told your pastor I would try to be careful of the clock. In Vanuatu, we don't pay nearly as much attention to it, so I will do my best this morning. But in verse 1, or in point 1, one of the first things that we need to do to be able to do this is what John did, what Paul did. We need to be able to look to God. To see God in our lives, to truly see Him for who He is, because it's pretty hard to sacrifice ourselves, to decrease and allow Him to increase if we don't know who He is, if we don't fully see who and what He is. We need to look to God, to remember what He's done, what He's given to us already. For those of you that are here today, and you can say without hesitation, I am a Christian. I am Jesus Christ. He has purchased me with his blood. I am saved because of his sacrifice, because he came and was born and died for my sins. If you can say that, you have something to look to. Even if you've only been saved a few minutes, a few months, a few years, you have something to look to and say, God is good. God is powerful. Because God saved my soul. And if God could do that, if God could forgive me, if God could change me, then he is worthy of taking a place of preeminence, a place of leadership in my life. During the Old Testament, we see many pictures of this relationship with God. The law itself was given primarily to show us the need that we have for Jesus Christ, to show the difference of our righteousness, our abilities, and God's righteousness. And the whole point of the law was to show us that we're just not enough. We have come short, as Paul says in Romans chapter 3, of the glory of God, that we are not able on our own to be anything close to what God is. That's again why Paul says it's a reasonable sacrifice, a reasonable service, because we're not able to be what God is. And to allow him to be God in our life, that's an upgrade. Okay. In Numbers, go back with me. Hold your place here in John. We will come back. But go back to the book of Numbers, verse 13 of chapter 29. We could easily spend far more time than we have this morning in this area, so we'll just briefly look at this, but just as a point of reference here, in chapter 29, verse 13, it says this, "And ye shall offer a burnt sacrifice, or a burnt offering, a sacrifice made of fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. 13 young bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year, they shall be without blemish." So we start here in verse 13, and this is the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. And we don't have a lot of time to study everything about that right this morning, but the Feast of Tabernacles was a time of remembering what God had done for Israel. It was a time of joy, a time of rejoicing. It was a time of sacrifice as well. And we started with this sacrifice, and we had the 13 young bullocks, that's the 13 young bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year, without blemish, all perfect, the best that you had to offer. And that is what we should give God all times, the best that we have to offer. Down in verse 17, it says, "And on the second day you shall offer 12 young bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year without spot." Down in verse 20, it says, "And on the third day, 11 bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs." Down on verse 23, "On the fourth day, 10 bullocks." And every day you go down, the bullocks decrease, the lambs do not. The bullocks decrease from 13 down to 7. Now, there's a lot of people that will get far more into Bible numerology than I would go, but sometimes the Bible gives us numbers that actually have a very practical meaning in our life, something that we can learn from. 13 oftentimes is referred to as the number of man, of our ability, our strength, our power, our weaknesses too, our sin. Mankind, human nature, we often call it, or the sin nature, maybe a more accurate way of saying it often. That nature that we receive from Adam passed down to us, that we pass down to our children. Man at 13. Seven typically is viewed as the number of perfection, the number of God's work, the number of completion. See, every day those decreased, the bullocks from 13 down to 7. And notice the number of sheep never changes. All right? The number of sheep never changes. It doesn't decrease. It doesn't need to. The sheep, you know, is a picture of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. There is no need for any change there. Jesus Christ was enough, the perfect sacrifice. But on our side, this Feast of Tabernacles, every time the portion of man decreases down to the number 7. Job 5, verse 7 and verse 14 says this. It says, "Yet man is born unto trouble, and the sparks fly upward. What is man," Job asks, "what is man that he should be clean, and he that which is born of a woman that he should be righteous?" It says, what is man that man can be clean on his own? What is man that man should be righteous, is Job's question. In verse 4, before this question was asked, or in Job, this question was asked. It says, how then can man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? See, in our lives, that's something that if you're here today and you are able to say what I said before, to say, I am Jesus Christ. I am bought with a price. I am a Christian. I am saved. Then you realize this. You came to a point in your life where you looked at it and said, I can't do it. I have come short of the glory of God. I have sins in my life. There is nothing I can do. Only Jesus Christ can. And you came to a point where you bowed down and you asked God to do what you could not do. You asked Jesus Christ to remove those sins, that unrighteousness that you couldn't remove. And to see that change in people's lives, there is nothing greater. You humbled yourself before God. Said, God, I can't, will you? If you haven't done that, if there's never been a time in your life where you've come to the realization that I have sinned, that I have come short of the glory of God, that's something that you need to do. This time of year is a good time to do it. To receive the gift that Jesus Christ gave, that gift on Christmas Day, that gift, the forgiveness of your sins. The ability to be able to see His righteousness in our lives, not ours or the lack thereof. The second point, first to look to God, to remember what He's done, to remember how good He has been to us, to remember the power that He's shown in our lives, the blessing that He's given, and then secondly, to lift up God. This also was a part of the Feast of Tabernacles. Not just to remember what God has done and to leave it there, and sometimes it's easy to do that without even realizing we are. That we'll lift up God, we'll sing praises to God, we'll thank God for what He's done, but we stop at that point. But the next step is to lift up God now, to put Him in a place of, that word again, that preeminence, to put Him in a place of leadership above ourselves, above everything, to allow God to be God in our lives, to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be Lord true, Master true in our lives. We started... Remember what we saw there with the 13 bulls. We started with what we had to offer. Our abilities, our strengths, our righteousness, if you will. And it never was enough. And we lift up God. See, only a baby at that first stage, when you accepted Jesus Christ, you were a newborn Christian. It's a terminology John often, when writing to new Christians, he would say, my children, little children. He used that terminology. Just starting, just learning, just growing in God. Gaining the knowledge, the wisdom, the strength that they need to be able to walk, to be able to eventually run, as Paul talks about, to fight, to be able to do what God has for us in this life, to see His plan in our lives. All of the old things at that first stage, the old life, while dead, was still very strong often in our lives. A lot of the connections, a lot of the ties, a lot of the habits we still fought with. But every day, as we continue to grow in God's Word, as we continue to allow Him to become more in our life, we do as Paul says, and we make those sacrifices. Say, God, this is something that is harmful to me. God, this is something that is hindering my growth, my walk with You. God, this is of me only. And we lay those down at the foot of the cross. We give those to Jesus Christ. We grew in our lives. And as we grew, the things that bothered us before became less and less bothersome to us. We grew in strength. We grew in faith. Every day as we walk, we get closer to Him. That symbolism in the Feast of Tabernacles, that reduction of the bulls every day from 13 down to 7, that's something that every one of us should strive for in our life. Now, every one of us is somewhere between 13 and 7 right now. Hopefully, we're not at 13, but I can pretty well guarantee we're not at 7 yet either. Okay? I haven't arrived. One of the things in Bible college that Brother Spohr always used to say, and he was my teacher in Bible college as well. Never thought that we'd be working together in the same field, but God had things planned out far before we knew what was going on. One of the things I always said in Bible college was, I'm not ready. I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I haven't learned enough. I haven't grown enough. I'm not enough. And his answer is something that stuck with me all the way through. It's something that I've been able to answer our young men in Vanuatu when they say the same things. It's something that I still need. Is that he said, when you think that you are enough, when you think that you have arrived, he says, that's when you're in trouble. All of us are on our way to seven still. We're trying to get closer to that perfection of God. We're trying to get closer to who God is, to allow him to shine more in our lives. It's a daily struggle. And hopefully every day of your life, every year of your life, we're coming towards the end of this year. Hopefully you can come to the end of this year and look back and say, I am closer to God this year than I was this time last year. I have grown. Maybe I was at 11 last year. I've made it to 10 or 9. I'm closer to God. I have decreased and he has increased in my life. I hope you can say that. If not, today's a good day to start. To let go of some of those things, to make that sacrifice, that reasonable service that Paul talks about and say, God, this is something I need to give to you, not to lose, not because it's going to be damaging to me, but so that you can grow, so that you can be more, so that I can be closer to who you are, to what you are. There's nothing greater we can do in our life. See, man has the idea, the opinion that we need to increase. It's the driving force behind, politics, behind science, behind education in many cases. It's one of the driving forces behind the world is to increase, to get better, to know more, to grow, to be more than what we were before. And on our own, it's just simply not going to happen. It's futile. But with God, and man's idea is I need to grow in name. I need to increase in money and wealth. I must increase in respect to gain power in this world, position in this world. Religion, man's works, if you look at religion as being what man can do to reach God, religion itself says my work must increase. When we focus on what we can do only, say, I must do more. And sometimes even with a good heart, we can fall into the trap of doing that and saying, I have to do more for God. And we look at it in our power and our strength. I need to do. On all the rituals, the false faith, the false service or sacrifice that comes about because of that. God, I'm doing this for you, my way, in my power. And for a little while it may work, but long term, we can't sustain it. We can't do it. See, what we need is true faith, true sacrifice, true service. And they have nothing to do with us. All three of those words have nothing to do with who we are. They're all about decreasing so that he can increase. The last point today, to look to God, to lift up God, and then to let God. To allow him to do in our life. To be that disciple, that follower of Jesus Christ, one that allows him to lead truly in our life, one that lives by faith. Faith, we don't know the answers. We don't see it all. It's those unseen things, right? That's faith. If we see it, it's not faith. We don't need faith to do what we already can see and we can plan. That's not faith. Faith is saying, Lord, I don't know how this is possible. Lord, I can't see it, but I will follow you. I'll do this anyways. And Lord, I'll look for what you can do. That's faith. To let God, to say, I must decrease, like John said. See, true faith, true sacrifice is dead to self. That's what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 6, being dead to self. If you'd go with me to Matthew chapter 10, back to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 10, and go down to verse 34. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. That's a verse that, I don't know about you, but sometimes I come to that verse and it makes you stop and ponder for a little bit. It's a hard verse sometimes unless we get what Jesus Christ is talking about here. It says, I came not to send peace, but a sword, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Verse 38, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. They're hard verses. It's a place that oftentimes we don't like to dwell on. But there's a reason, there is a lesson that Jesus Christ is trying to teach his disciples here. And that lesson, when we come right down to it, is that it's about him, not about us. It's about decreasing so that he can increase. It's about letting God be God in our life and seeing what he can do. To be dead to self. Now, not everybody is going to be happy if you do this. Okay? I don't like to sugarcoat things. Vanuatu, one of the things I love about the country is it is very blunt in Vanuatu. Those of you that were able to go, you probably noticed that, speaking to some of our people. It's very direct, very blunt, very much in many things, right out there in the open. And a lot of that has to do with the language, because in Bislama, there's only one way to say most things. So you just have to say it. I like that, personally. I think in many ways, a lot of the men that we see, and a lot of the times in Jesus Christ himself and his messages, he was that way. There is something I have to say, and I'm going to say it. His disciples were not always happy to hear it. Even those closest to him were not always happy to hear it. Sometimes it is hard to hear. See, praise, true faith, surrender, that's what he's talking about here. Verse 37 and 39 dealt with that. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Now, if you picture being there and hearing this come from your Lord, from Jesus Christ, that would have been hard to hear. But he had a reason for telling them this. It wasn't meant to be a negative to them. It wasn't meant to cause their life to be depressing, to be harder. This was something that they needed to learn to be able to increase in him, to be able to see more than they ever could be, to be able to do what we see through the book of Acts, to be able to see the difference that God used them to make in their world. Acts 20, 24 says this, says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. See, it's not a loss. We get to decrease so that Jesus Christ can increase in our life. We get to let go of these things and put them in God's hands so that God can deal with them, so that God can work in our life rather than us trying to figure out how to do it ourselves. See, when we make these sacrifices, instead of it being my problem now, it's God's. Instead of it being my power or my wisdom that has to sort it out and figure out how to get through this, it's now God's wisdom and his power that will get me through it. It's a positive thing in our life. 2 Corinthians 12, 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect, not in your strength, but in weakness. And Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, I wish I could tell you that I've arrived there, too. Right now, it's a little bit more poignant to me, to glory in mine affirmities. I'm not used to preaching with one leg. It's an infirmity. It makes things more difficult. And it's honestly, it's hard to say, you know, God, thank you for my crutches. But God has a reason for it. You know, I've found with my leg through the years that God has used it to do some amazing things, and I won't share all of it with you here because I did tell your pastor I would watch the time, but I've seen, well, my mom was saved because of my leg, Well, here, my wife's had an opportunity to counsel someone through a great loss, a loss of a mother, to see one of the daughters saved through our time here, to be able to lead her to the Lord. God has a reason for the things that He allows in our lives, whatever they are, and that's why we should give God the glory for them. Not because we're necessarily happy for being on crutches, or whatever it is in your life, but because God can use that to do something amazing. God is ready to use that to show His strength in your life if you'll let Him. We decrease, but He increases. Oswald Chambers, and we'll finish here with this last thought. He says, if you become a necessity to a soul, you are out of God's order. When once you see a soul in sight of the claims of Jesus Christ, you know that your influence has been in the right direction. And instead of putting out a hand to prevent the throes, pray that they grow 10 times stronger until there is no power on earth or in hell that can hold that soul away from Jesus Christ. To not get in the way of what God is doing in someone's life. Sometimes it's those infirmities. It's those tribulations, all these words that we don't like. It's those sacrifices that God is using to make a difference, to show His power, to show His love, to show that He is so far greater than we could ever be. See, true faith must show Jesus Christ in us, never us in us. One of the things that I have always prayed, and I pray that it is true more often than not, again, haven't arrived, but the people would see Jesus Christ in me more than they see me in me. And that should be every Christian's goal, that people, when they see us, our family, our friends, our workmates, they see Jesus Christ more than they see us in us. That's what John was talking about. It's what Paul was talking about. Now, I don't know where you are this morning, maybe closer to 13 or closer to 7 or somewhere between. I think most of us are somewhere between. But we have something that we can give to God this time of year. A Christmas present, if you will. Say, Lord, I will decrease in this. And to know that He will increase because of it. If you're here today and you've never accepted that gift, like we said in Romans 3:23, Paul says that we have come short of the glory of God. We've sinned. You have a need this morning. And if we're honest in our heart, before salvation, we know if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, you know that there's a need in your heart. God has done everything to answer that need. Maybe you've got those same questions. Why? Why, God? Why am I? Come and put that at the foot of the cross and see what Jesus Christ can do in your life. Christian, be willing to decrease this year and see what God can do. Allow Him to increase. You'll never regret it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for this time. Lord, I thank You for Your word, men like John and Paul, the challenge that they are to us. Lord, the fact that we know they struggled with the same things we struggle with. Lord, help us to decrease. Lord, I pray that if there's one here today that does not know You as their personal Savior, one that has never accepted You, that has never bowed down, humbled themselves, and said, I can't, and asked You to cleanse them from that sin in their life, Lord, I pray that today would be the day for them. Lord, for the rest of us, help us to let go of one more young bull in our life. Lord, to put it at Your feet. Lord, allow You to make a difference in who we are, to increase in who we are. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would stand together and have your eyes closed, heads bowed. In a few moments, we are taking the Lord's Supper table together. The Scriptures do tell us, though, let a man examine himself, and then let him eat of bread and drink of the cup. This is that time. My first challenge to you is, are you in the faith? Do you know Jesus Christ? Has there been that time in your life when through the inescapable conviction of the Holy Spirit, you bowed your knee and declared that Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord to the glory of God? Have you done that? Is that your testimony? Do you know Jesus is your Lord and your Savior? Is there anyone here who is not sure of that? Pastor Ken, I've been hearing the message of how I must be saved, how I am a sinner in need of salvation. The Lord is convicting my heart. I know I have sinned against Him. I want to be forgiven. I need that. Is there anybody here like that? Would you raise your hand quietly with no one looking around? Pastor Ken, just pray for me. I need to be saved. I need that forgiveness to be born again. Is there anyone here? I just want to pray for you. I want to remember you this morning. I need that. I need that. I must be born again. Christians, I urge you to make your prayer this morning. Lord, help me to decrease and Jesus to increase in my life. I want people to see more of Him and a lot less of me. I want my family to see Him in me. My co-workers, the people around me, my neighbors, that they would see Jesus, His heart, His attitude, that they would see Him working in me. Just a few moments of prayer time. If you'd like to come, if you need to pray with someone, just come and let me know. But I'll have just a few moments, and then I'll lead us together, church. Respond to the Lord. Father, Lord, I thank You again for this reminder today that we must decrease, He must increase. May our heart, may our desire be the same as that of John, to fade into the background as Jesus does His work in us, through us. Lord, forgive us when we try to take control, when we try to take the reins and be more than we ought. Father, I pray that You would do a humbling, good work in us. May we leave this place, Father. And may the light of Jesus, may His love, His heart, His attitudes be visible through us to others. Lord, as we take of the table now, I just pray that we do so with the right spirit and right heart as we remember all that Jesus has done for us. Take away any distractions in our heart, in our mind, in our thinking. May we focus on Him at this time in Jesus' name. Please take a seat for a moment. If I could have some of the men to assist me at the front, please. Thank you, Renee and Joel. It is time once again to take of the Lord's table. I just want to remind us, the Bible doesn't tell us the frequency with which we do this. The only kind of time that we have says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. Some churches do it weekly, others do it monthly, and some do it as far as yearly. But it is a remembrance. It's a memorial of our Lord, of His body and His blood. There's nothing mystical or magical in the elements themselves. There's nothing mystical about it. Taking of these elements will not bring about salvation. It will not save you. It is something that those who are already saved and those who have trusted in Jesus Christ, it's something that they do to remember Him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took the bread. So I ask you to come and take the bread, take the cup, and then return to your seats. With the outside rows, please stand as where you are and make your way forward. If you're a guest visitor, we don't feel in any way that pressured to do anything. You're welcome to stay in your seats. Thank you. Once again, the word says, the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took the bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time where we partake of these elements and we hold this bread in our hands at this time. And by doing so, we're reminded of that body that Jesus took. Lord, when the appointed time had come, you sent forth your Son to be born of a virgin, to take upon a body, human flesh, and be one of us. And that body grew, it developed, it suffered pain, it was abused and mistreated, and it was nailed to the cross, it was killed for our sins and transgressions. We thank you, Father, for that body, the spotless Lamb of God. In Jesus' name, amen. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Father, once again we hold an element, the cup in our hands, that reminds us, brings to mind the blood that was shed to cover our sins. Lord, we thank you for that blood that washes away our sins, that takes them from us, that cleanses us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And we have done and will continue to do as the Lord commanded us until he comes again and we're with him face to face. We have a few announcements that you need to hear, so please be patient with that, and we'll be done in just a couple of moments. Thank you.
With your bulletins, just check on the inside pages, and we'll share just a few things with you that's going on in the next week. The youth group, the Friday night youth teen meetings, that is going to be this coming Friday night. It's the final meeting of the year, and this one's going to be a sleepover. So those of you who are participating in that, see Pastor Chad on the times. Pastor Chad, is he in there? What time do they start this? 6 o'clock. So be there at 6 o'clock. And it also asks that you are to bring a plate of food to share with everyone. Also, we want to continue to pray for those that we mentioned earlier in the congregation that either has loved ones that that they would like for your prayers for. Lisa Seto, pray for her father. Archie Pinoa, pray for him and the surgery coming up this week. Kevin D., pray for his children, Kate and Ben, especially this week. Also, our missionaries that we're praying for, Bob and Selena Buster, continue to pray for them and their ministry in Tonga. That's a missions support. Our missions ministry that we support here, and then also each of our missionaries that we have the prayer letters on the back. Also take note that coming up on the 20th of December, that's when we have our special combined worship service at 11 o'clock, so that means the 8:30 time, you'll be meeting at 11 o'clock with the other 11 o'clock worship service time, and then that night we have our cantata. The choir's been working hard, they have been working diligently. And 8 o'clock, Sunday night, the 20th of December, they will also be doing this cantata as well on the 24th of December, that one also at 8 o'clock. So you have two opportunities to come out and invite guests, bring some friends and family and co-workers, people that perhaps wouldn't come to church through the week or through the Sunday, normal Sunday, but they would come along and hear the cantata. You'll hear the story of Christ and the plan of salvation as well. I think that's all of the announcements that we need to make this morning. But before we're dismissed, if you're having a birthday this week or an anniversary, anyone having a birthday this week coming up from today through next Sunday, anyone having a birthday? Anyone with a birthday this week? No one?
Yes.
How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone sharing or having a wedding anniversary this week? Wedding anniversary. Here comes Damien. Come on up here, Damien. It can't be yours alone. Is Una here with this morning? Nope, she's not going to make it this morning. How many years?
3 years.
3 years, Damien and Una. Anyone else sharing a wedding anniversary or have a wedding anniversary this week? No? Let's all stand together. We'll sing Happy Anniversary, and then we'll be dismissed. Mm-hmm. Happy Anniversary.
Happy Anniversary, God bless you. Happy Anniversary to you. All right, let's be dismissed. We have some fellowship. We'll be starting class in about 15 minutes, so be sure to be there. It's an exciting one today. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Brother Jim, for sharing with us. By the way, I was over in Port Vila the week before last for Sunday. I was so happy to be able to come by. Me and Jim were on this cruise, and it happened to stop over there on a Sunday morning. We get off, find a taxi, and show up at church. And it was a blessing to be there and to see everything that Brother Jim's been talking about. So pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for the church and the work, shall we? Let's be dismissed. My Lord, I thank you for the blessing that we've had this morning from hearing from your word through the mouth of our brother, Jim Hertzel. And I pray your healing upon him, upon his leg. I pray that you would bring him back up on both legs soon so that he can return to the work that you've called him to. Father, help us today to leave this place willing to become less and less, and that Jesus Christ become more and more in us. Lord, may people see him shining through us. May they see more of him and less of us. I pray that each of us would be a good examples, good testimonies for him. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a drink and some fellowship.